What it is, Brad Lee back again with another episode of Dropping Bombs today in the studio, folks. I got a couple of treats for you, Bobby and Sophia Castro. What's happening, folks?
Oh, man, awesome to be here. You know, I feel like on Howard Stern's. I think it feels like I'm in the studio of Howard Stern's.
Why do you think that?
I don't know. It seems like it's pretty cool here, man.
Well, let's ask Robin. Robin?
Yeah. Oh.
So, folks, if you guys don't know who Bobby and Sophia are, they're just a couple of rich folks. Started out with, you know, very rich parents. They got handed everything. And, you know, they managed to keep it, which is rare.
Yep, joking.
Yeah. Folks, if you guys look them up, you already know. Official Bobby Castro is where you find her. And official Sophia Castro is where you find her. Him and her, and you spell it Castro. So official Bobby Castro, official Sophia Castro. What's Ortsac, by the way?
So Ortsac is Castro backwards.
Ah, tricky bastards.
And you know what? Back in the 50s, if you look up on Google, the CIA had a mission to take down Fidel Castro, and they had Ortsac as the mission. That was a project.
Oh, I'll be damned.
We didn't name it because of that. It was just Castro backwards.
No, that happened. Somebody told us that.
But no, I was half right. They are rich folk, but they didn't start out that way, correct?
That is 100% correct.
So you, ultimately, how'd you make the biggest dough? You built the company and then sold it for a billy.
Yep, that's how 90% of all wealth has been created. Owning a business, creating business, giving it value, and ultimately exiting that business.
But before that, you guys didn't have dough.
No, dude, I was a waiter. I got through the ninth grade. That's it. My wife.
How long have you guys been married?
33 years.
So you 34. Knew him when he was just a broke.
Oh, he didn't even have a car.
I was a broke BSer.
Did he pronounce his G's back then?
Oh, no. Nope.
Where'd you guys meet? Florida?
Yeah. Okay. Miami.
Okay, so not rich families, nothing like that. And then obviously you guys built a company.
Yep.
Over the fucking lifetime. You had a bunch of kids.
Yep. Yeah.
How many?
Two kids. So
that's
we
it?
Have yeah, dude. So we have Priscilla, who's gonna be 33, Brandon 27. They're married to two awesome partners, their spouses, and then we have two grandchildren. Priscilla and Eddie has our grandchildren, Ocean, who's 8, Oakley, who's 5.5. And it feels awesome, man, being a grandfather. I'm really enjoying this journey. Now we're all about legacy. That's why we are all about our family. I choose not to get it all thick and thin. Look, I can't even pronounce. In the thick of things, but I give a lot of attention, a lot of energy in my immediate family because I want to make change in that.
Did you? Was that a lack where you came from?
You got it, Brad. Yeah, 1,000%. It was chaos. It was everything opposite.
And now I know you guys, you know, you wrote a book called Upsiders.
Yeah.
Right? And you coach people on occasion. Correct? So do you, don't you? Because I see your guys' social media. You guys are like starting to like coach and mentor people and show them how to buy properties and, you know, not blow money and build a legacy. And like, it's all kinds of things. It's almost like lessons you've learned.
Yeah, dude. So I decided to take on 10 one-on-one clients. These are business owners. To show them how to scale their business and ultimately how to exit it. And along the way, invested, making sure they don't get distracted. So now I really took on 13. I was meaning to only take on 10. And then we do have a small, very intimate inner circle, strictly for multifamily investors, only about 12 members there. So we're in a stage of our life. We're about giving value. And what's crazy about this, when I decided to take on these one-on-one clients that I spend two 90-minute calls a month, In between, they have access to me. I offered it for free. Free. My son Brandon says, you're out of your mind, Dad. No one's going to take this. Well, he was right. Nobody. It bothered me that everyone was skeptical of my intentions. And I think it's because a lot of them are surrounded by some evil people. Maybe some people that are stuck and miserable. They didn't believe it was totally free. I was going to give all this time, precious time, to help these individuals. So then I decided to, okay, I'm going to charge $10,000 a month. I'm going to do what my son says. This social media is a whole different world. I'm trying to figure it out. And so now I'm taking, I have 13 clients.
But it was also a different clientele that you now take on. Before, when the free ones, it was just any entrepreneur, right, that had an idea or wanted to get a little bit of a coaching in business.
True.
Now you actually take on businesses that are you know, seven to nine figures.
Yeah, that fee filters out some of the
100%.
I found that nonsense out to be true.
Yes.
Well, that's good. That's good. That's real good. So again, in my mind, I'm thinking in my mind, you know, what have you guys learned as a couple that once you get some money, where'd you mess up?
So what we figured out is how to lose money. We were really good at that.
So when you first got paid, like real, because I mean, as you built a company, you must have started having money without having real money, because you know the company was successful clearly. So you had money, you just didn't have a bunch of it.
Well, we started. I was a waiter when I started the business. I was a waiter at the Rusty Pelican Key Biscayne in Miami, and I had a sales job during the day at the Better Business Bureau selling memberships. And I started this business on the side. Slowly but surely, I built it up to substitute one job, which was the waiter job, so I can continue feeding my energy towards this business. And eventually started growing, and then it grew out. The income got where I didn't need that second job. Now I'm doing it full time. And then we started doing well, meaning that we were making, say, globally $60,000 a year, and I started making $100,000 a year. I got parked and stuck at $100,000 a year for a long, long time. So the money didn't really come in. We thought we had a lot of money earning $100,000 and spending $101,000. We played that game for a while until we started having a different relationship with money. See, I have something I found out to be 100% true, and anybody can Google this. One penny a day, a lousy penny that a homeless person will walk over, or a homeless person will throw it back at you and say, that's all you're going to give me? Well, one penny a day compounded for 30 lousy days. Guess what that equals to?
Millions.
Over $5 million. When I realized that, it blew my mind, because then I said, you know what? I have to have money work for me and not for me to work for money. Everything changed. My business started really blowing up. I knew how to leverage my time. And I think that's where most people are lost. Everyone that's broke and struggling right now, the problem is how they do life and how they do time. It's all in time. And I have something called, which you know, non-refundable minutes. You don't get them back. Never. So how you invest them really matters, not spending them or burning them. I got very efficient with my time. Very efficient, meaning that I cut some family members out of my life. I love them from a distance. I just didn't have time for them right there and then. A lot of friends, a lot of associations, and I got really real with myself and transparent with myself, because I used to be a BSer. I started BSing myself like we all do. And then when you start doing that, you start BSing everyone that's around you, and then you're around a lot of BSers and no one's going nowhere. So I completely cut that nonsense out because I was wasting my time. That penny compound effect I just told you about, 30 days, $5 million. If you understand the power of that, you could become financially free from nothing. Anything that's big, including Jeff Bezos' company, started small. Everyone wants to look at maybe a Bobby Castro or somebody else, Brad Lee, a Grant Cardone, whatever the name is. Well, guess what? That area was once zero. It started small, and in stages you scale and you create something called wealth.
Yeah, I would. So at the very beginning, Brad, we did what everybody does, right? You come from $0 and you have 100 and you're super excited. You want to get all of the shiny objects. You want to get a car. You want to get a house. You want to get everything, right? We did that at the very beginning, but one thing that both of us were able to realize very quickly was that, oh my God, we're making 100 and we're spending 105. How are we ever going to scale? And luckily we had that mindset that we wanted to scale this business. So we completely came back down, cut out all those stupid expenses. And we actually did a spreadsheet that I give a lot to our audience or whoever asks us. It's a spreadsheet that we decided to do on Excel and really managed all the money that came in personally. The business was something else, but what we were taking in personally, and really started saying, what do we really want out of all this money? What do we want? We wanted more generational wealth. And if you control yourself when you start making money, which is hard, yeah, not to say, I'm going to go on vacation, I'm going to go buy this, I'm going to go buy. Really say, I'm going to stack and rack, what Bobby and I say. And don't go out. Don't do things that you think you could do because you have the money. Just wait until you really get to that point in financial freedom that you say, okay, now I could go buy the Gucci purse, the Louis Vuitton shoes, a house, a vacation, and it's not going to touch my real wealth that's sitting here compounding, right? That's when you go out. But people do it prematurely. And then years later, you're like, what did I do? I just busted my butt all these years and I have nothing to show for it. It's hard.
I know. Trust me. I've been there. Yep. You know, but my problem was nobody was there to kind of teach me.
Yeah.
But I've never exited yet. You know, I just make money. So I made it and I spent it and I made it and I spent it and I made, and I, you know, I say made because it was back. I'm smarter today. But back in those days, I was making way more than 100. And everyone thought I was rich because you look rich, but you're fucking not rich. You're just broke at another level.
And you start BSing yourself. I know this to be true, Brad, because you're looking at two individuals here and I'm talking to another Bobby and Sophie right now. $1,700, that was not our money. It was her mother's money, who's no longer with us. She died of lung cancer many years back. $1,700 she gave us to start a business from a classified ad. We took that $1,700 of not our money, and it led us to sell a company for $1 billion. Along the way, way before we exited, we started investing the money we were making. First,
hold on, investing or investing?
And that shows you anybody can do this, guys. I don't even speak Spanish. My last name's Castro. I can't even speak English. Only got through the 9th grade. Can't spell. Can't do anything other than understanding how money works. That's all you have to do. So you want to invest in your company. You want to reinvest in your company. You don't want to spend time on real estate. You don't want to look at this. You don't want to look at that. What you want to look at, what Bobby and Sophie did, look at what's right in front of us, this amazing business that we criticize. We think it's not real big. Like, I didn't realize how big it was. We started getting distracted. I was looking here. I was looking there. I'm investing here. I'm putting $50,000 here, $10,000 there, real estate, all this. And I have this thing right in front of me all along for so many years, Brad, that I neglected it. I took it for granted until someone came along the way and said, hey, listen, we want to buy 30% of your company. Just, we want to buy 30% of it all cash. We'll wire you the money right away. And by the way, it closed in 90 days based on a $250 million valuation. And here I was, Brad, looking at this business opportunity, looking at this real estate, looking at the next little shiny thing, what this guy's saying about or what he's doing. All along, I said, what? Are they kidding me? My mind blew up. I said, my God, I had this baby in front of me, and how dare me not fertilize it? My life changed. I became very laser, what I call, with a lot of efficiency. And when you and I met at the first 10X conference, when we spoke, I talked heavily about non-refundable minutes. And that was 8-9 years ago. And it actually, the ROI was magnificent. It continues to be that, including my incredible relationship with my life partner of 34 years, man.
Well, that's, you know, like freaking rare nowadays.
You got to invest your time. You got to be very intentional what you want as to your time. And when I tell people or ask people, man, Brad, how much is your minute, 1 minute worth? And before you answer me, just remember, you never, ever get back that minute. And the point I'm trying to make, you'll realize how much time you're sitting having conversations with people, gossiping about people, hating on people, complaining about the prices are getting so expensive, everything's getting so expensive, and you're wasting all this time that you're not going to get back. And when you really put it in perspective, you start saying, my God, why don't I start investing it? And now you have all this time you didn't realize you had that you were burning and wasting. I know this is really deep, but it changed my life, man. I'm financially free because of it. If we do the right things, and Vegas is, the odds are fair, very favorable that my kids will blow it all. The stats are over 70%.
Yeah.
The Vegas is betting heavily, and the odds are in their favor, heavy. So I'm on high alert because we're trying to build this 100-year legacy.
Well, you know what you should
legacy.
Do?
Tell me.
Give it all to me, and I'll make sure they don't.
Okay. We'll put you as a trustee.
Just put it in there. Yeah. I'll make sure that they fucking act like they're supposed to act.
So it's a role, dude. It's a role response. It's another stage we're at.
Hey, but here's the question. Unlike Warren Buffett and these other guys, they say they're not giving their kids their money.
Yeah, we don't believe in that.
Me either. When people ask me, I say they're going to get it all. Why would I be 100%. Working? And not only that, who else should get it? Bunch of fucking charities? Yeah, what are they doing with that money? You don't know.
Yes.
Give it to your kids. 100%. But I do agree with setting up some structure in case they're too young and they don't know any better. Or, you know, they're suckers. But your kids are old enough not to be suckers.
Yeah, but I mean, you could be 50 years old and not know. Let's say your parents do die and you're 50 years old and now you get this wealth of this transfer of wealth. You have never had a business. You never knew you had that much money. You didn't know the wishes of your parents. And now you are 50 years old and you got 50, you know, whatever millions or billions. And you go out there and you're like, whoa, yes, I'm going to go do this. You could spend it at 50 years old as well. Some 50-year-olds still don't have the brain of saying, I'm going to, you know, do the right thing, invest, make this money, reproduce instead of emptying out the tank.
So what do you guys think a good, solid, conservative return on investment should be?
So we expect to earn money on our money. We
don't expect whatever that is. What's the average? Like, hey, we should expect to see
12%.
X percent. 12.
12. And that's very aggressive at the stage we're at.
So if I could show you 20.
If you show me 20, and let me tell you, I'm human. I look at it depending on who's actually I'm receiving that information or transparency from. And I think we talked about it back then. You know, it's managing risk, guys. It's not taking risk. And we have taken it on the chin by going on some of those investments that are 20, that are 40%. And of course, that comes along with the deal. You got to be willing to invest because you can't get comfortable because there is times that even right now, I mean, we're managing a lot of money. We have our own family office. And every day we are combing through, making sure we're preserving, but more importantly, and I'm looking at my children, we're growing it. Because of Vanderbilt and Rockefeller, you can go on Google and do this. Vanderbilts were one of the wealthiest families on the planet, including Rockefeller, more or less at all the same time. Today, the Rockefellers are about 5 or 6 generations deep.
Actually going into 8.
8 generations deep. Vanderbilts are broke. They kept going back to the piggy bank, Brad.
They're broke?
They're broke.
At the third generation. The
Gloria
Anderson Cooper didn't get anything from the.
They kept going back to the piggy bank, not investing, not having policies, not having principles, core values within this family office. Well, the Rockefellers did. So going back to that charity, what Sophie and I strongly believe, we plan on how we look at charity is our energy. We're actually in the mud. We're heavily involved in charity a lot, but we're not going to give all our money to charity. We want our kids to do more impact than that. See, this is 100 years in the making, and we hired a company. And for the ones that just, how do you find these company, Bobby? Or Legacy Capitals, with a plural. Dr. Orlando and him and his team work with me and my family. We meet quarterly with all our advisors and monthly. I get one-on-one coaching. My wife does. My kids do each and as couples constantly to make sure we're in check. And they represent some of the wealthiest families in this country. So when you're hearing intentions, think about this, guys. We have enough money, Sophie and I, to do anything we want. But we know we have a role and responsibility. I want something different in my family, man. I come from chaos. You and I have similar stories. I want to do it different. I want to put that foot stamp and set that pattern, that example, and one day have the Castros. X amount of wealth is going to be 10 times that, but more so, just it just compounds to hundreds of years, man. Why not?
Are you going to have one of those photos?
Oh, yes. We take photo shoots.
Like 6 generations from now, they'll be Bobby.
We're working on
the chair.
It.
Yes. You sitting to the side.
On the beach. On the beach. On the beach.
Yes.
Just 100%. Hanging out with the flip-flops.
Yes, this 100-year legacy is really, really important for us. And one of the things that we touched about charity is we don't want to leave that, hey, a charity just gets this. In our legacy planning, we have a philanthropy leg to our you know, rules and regulations, and you have to be a participant to a charity. You have to put hard sweat equity in order for the trust to be able to give to a charity.
Well, you guys sound smart now. I'm looking for when you first got a big paycheck.
Got it.
Because a lot of people hear about, oh, you exited a company. They don't realize that a lot of times that's not all cash, number one. Number two, what happens when you call your bank and it says you have X number of dollars and it's massive?
Yeah.
Like, so, you said, you know, we were making 100 trying to get, but when you got paid big money, yeah, where you have liquid real money, yeah, what'd you do first?
Well, I let Sophie.
You didn't go out and just blow shit?
No, not at all.
You were already learned by then?
When the first slug came in, besides us building our little nest egg in our business, and we probably had, I don't know, I'm just going to guess, maybe about a few million dollars put aside here and there. But when the real first big slug actually hit the account, I remember the closing date, I didn't even, Brad, man, it was not a wow moment for me. I was so ready for life. I was so ready to do Bobby better that I was already thinking beyond those tens of millions of dollars that would hit the account. But my wife had a different emotion, but we were both aligned saying, we're not going to blow this friggin' money. We're not going to.
Was that when you got into real estate?
No, we got into real estate before, and we almost filed bankruptcy, not knowing what the hell we were doing. So Sophie had an emotional breakdown. She cried. She felt bad for her family, which is interesting.
Yeah, I was very emotional. Imagine, we come from absolutely zero. My parents came from Cuba. I didn't even know what rich was when I was growing up. I didn't even know that exist. So when that day came and I saw what we were able to accomplish, not graduating from high school, none of us two, we didn't have no degrees. We had no clue how to start a business, and that we were able to accomplish a business that was able to sell a portion of it. And the company was still doing amazing. To me, that was like a huge wow moment, because I was so proud of us being able to accomplish a business that was able to literally go with audited financials, no bullshit game. You know, this was a real company that we were able to create alongside our two other partners. This was a legit business from two people that come. Me and Bobby built this business out of our apartment building, apartment that we lived in a two bedroom with $0. And that today,
and Sophie, that day Sophie sold, got she cried. Like, she felt guilty, which, you know, this is important, couples. This is where that alignment gets to another level. See, that's wrong with some relationships. My father had 15 kids, 14 kids, many different ladies. He didn't understand it. So we hit this marker, and Sophie, man, my life partner, is so emotional. And I thought it was like, she's just emotional. She's like, oh my God, this is just amazing. She was emotional, dude, because she felt bad and guilty, mm-hmm, because her family didn't receive wire transfers. And then that's where that next stage of communication with your life partner goes, where my wife and I sat down and I said, hey, listen, honey, we put it all on the line. We went to hell and we found our way back. We never gave up. I love my family. You love your family. We deserve this. It's our opportunity right now to preserve this money, grow it, attack this business, which we did. A year later, we went back from 250 to 600 million. The story continues. We started getting alignment to realize what we have been building and how many times we've almost been friggin' divorced because of it. This is our time.
Yeah. Yeah, it was emotional. You know, you have your family, at least, you know, I'm very, very close to my family. So I'm like, that, you know, they didn't have a business. They're, you know, they work for other people. And like, you see yourself, like, now you're a millionaire and you have your family that's not. So it's like, you know, it was hard. But I had to get over it, and I'm always very good to my family. Like,
did the family come a running?
You know what?
No. No, both of our families. No, dude. They.
So you had good families.
We had good families.
That's probably why you felt guilty.
Mm-hmm. Well, for my family, I was very vocal
Vocal with what?
Vocal
what
meaning
stay
that
the fuck out of here.
I'm willing to help ones that are willing to help themselves. Again, I come from chaos.
So you laid it down first. Hey, everybody, yeah, slow down.
You know, we really didn't get that attack. Never, of like, no. Hey, I need money. I'm
that. Well, did they know how much you got?
No.
Yeah, I'm vocal. Yeah,
about that.
I'm vocal. I'm very transparent. I think you already
know
that.
Why anybody would expect you to do you owe them just because they're family.
Well, yeah. I've had a couple family members, me personally, that they absolutely expect it. Yeah. Matter of fact, they almost were demanding.
And you were feeling guilty about that?
Yeah, I did, but you know, I got over it because again, you know, you see that they're in that level, but they don't want to help themselves. You know, we have family members that we try to tell them, hey, come follow our footsteps. We'll help you. We'll do whatever you want to get into. We're here backing you up.
Yeah. Well, you know? I didn't exit, but I've given certain family money to where they had no bills, no concerns. Why? Because I just wanted them to be able to have enough room to breathe and get on their feet. I think 2 to 3 years I'm paying all their bills. Like they have no expenses. And they would call me and say, can you send us $100? And I said, for what? Like, what are you talking about? I know they have no bills because I pay them all.
No.
They say, can you send me $100? I said, for what? Pizza? And I said, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I said, are you serious right now? Yeah, we're fucking hungry. I said, dude, figure it the fuck out. Click.
Yep.
They would call me a dick after that.
Wow.
Like, can you believe that shit?
No, I could.
Like,
no.
What a fucking.
I wouldn't pay their damn bills.
I stopped.
Oh, yeah.
And again, I mean, you know, I was trying to be nice and I was nice for a long time. And other things that would happen were like, you know, the power bills, like $700. We're talking about a little ass apartment. So I call and I'm like, what, how's your power bill? $700. Like something wrong? No. So-and-so, I won't say any names cause they might listen.
Yeah.
So-and-so, keeps telling us, turn out the light. And you know what their response is? Doesn't matter. Brad pays the bills. So I'm talking
hurts,
about like
man.
Straight up
that
dick
hurts.
Faces.
That just,
it doesn't hurt me. It made me go, fuck you.
Exactly.
I'm done. And now I don't even take their calls. I don't care about their little cries and their boo hoos. I'm cold and we have no fucking money.
Perfect.
And can you feed us? No. And everyone says, dude, that's rude.
No.
Fuck you. How about that?
Rude.
Because dude, listen, if you can't make it with no bills,
you're never going to. That hurts them sometimes.
I hurt them. Yeah. Because guess what? You know, years later, They're alive. They're eating. Everything's fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I had to like be a dick to do that. But you know, I had to learn that the hard way. You guys seem how you were intuitive to know it from the get go. Mm-hmm. And then I went out and got, you know, I blew some money. I've been blowing money for years. You guys somehow knew not to.
Well, because we went down that road, Brad.
When though? I'm trying to get to that point.
So okay, so let me get to that. I'm sorry.
When did you guys go? Yeehaw!
Okay. So remember, we started the business, substituted two jobs, started making about $100,000 a year, which was a lot of money back then.
Yeah, but you can't go yeehaw with $100,000 a year.
I know,
we did.
Right? Yeah,
we
you
not.
Would think so. I know. It's crazy. So hold on. 100 goes to 150. Then you get to a couple hundred thousand, and believe it or not, 100 to 2, that hundred spread is
you're
a
talking
lot.
About a year, though.
Yeah.
Okay. You can't do what I'm talking about on that.
Yeah. No. But
I mean, we weren't going blowing out, going up.
So you got to understand, Brad. We had so check this
that,
out. We had nothing. We had nothing. So imagine us as an athlete, and you sign a contract with the Philadelphia Eagles, and you see it all day long with these athletes. They blow it. Most of them go broke.
Yeah, well, but they're blowing it going yeehaw.
Yeah. Well, we were doing the yeehaw as well. So
not
before we got smart.
Grand.
Oh,
but
yeah.
For us, that level of 200 grand for us, we had $0.
We were living on Section 8, dude, food stamps. We had no money. So when you put $100,000 into somebody who's two people making nothing, I mean, really bad.
No,
it's a lot of money.
But Brad, we never went at that point. We never went and said, we're going to go to Europe. We're going to go do this. We're going to go buy a Rolex. None
but
of that.
Let's just
You've
continue.
Never done that
let's
still.
Continue. Well, let's continue the conversation. I did buy a Rolex. It wasn't real. It was fake. So I'm just giving you the journey really quick. 100 goes to 200. We get it up to a few hundred thousand dollars. In the meantime, the company's still doing healthy, paying us, say, a few hundred thousand dollars. we are really living a lifestyle that doesn't support that $400,000. That's what I'm trying to come up with or explain.
So you're blowing it all.
Blowing it all. Flash dancing it, making sure just because this is not real, I want you to think it's real because this is my status. I was confused because I didn't have no one to show me this. That was success to me. Forward. We started making about $1 million a year. Then we have some of these distractions and they're all talking about real estate. Real estate. It got in my ear. I started going down there like a crackhead. We get into real estate. We go big because back then everybody was hitting it. Stevie Wonder can hit a home run.
It was 2004.
We're now interviewing two bankruptcy attorneys. We personally guaranteed our stuff, which is not a big thing, but the company that same company we sold for $1 billion, we guaranteed that company. Now we're talking to bankruptcy attorneys. And now I'm saying, how did we screw this up? How did we get so distracted? How the hell did I listen to this flash dancer? And what freaking idiot I am. What am I dealing with? What's this freaking fake Rolex watch? Where's my life going to? And then we're interviewing two bankruptcy attorneys. And now we're deciding which one we're going to go with and who's the cheapest one. Ran for the hills. And when we ran for the hills, we went back to this business just to hide and just started working. And guess what I found to be 100% true? What you give 100% focus and what you give 100% energy to, only one thing is guaranteed to happen. It grows massively. The question is, what do you want to give energy and focus to? Well, I was doing it with the business, but not on purpose, just to hide from this nightmare because I screwed it up.
And that nightmare was real estate?
Real estate, dude. Yeah. I started neglecting this business, started putting this money in real estate, had no clue what I was doing, following some other people that had no clue that I thought they had clue, because we all think we're the smartest people. I started learning so much, and it gets darker and darker and darker. I mean, to the point where most can't come out of it. And I said, never again, I will make this mistake. And I'm so true to it right now. I'll be 57 years old, March 1st. We have a lot of money that we worked our tail off. We're financially free. I am so still in that zone to not screw it up. I am so focused. You. I am fighting against all distractions.
I noticed that is now an Apple Watch.
Yeah.
So it's more efficient, by the way.
I know, but you don't have any Rollies anymore?
Yeah, I keep them for my grandchildren. I have a whole bunch of the Rollies, the Paddocks, whatever you call them, all that stuff. I don't wear them because the Bobby you see, Brad, and the Bobby you know, nowhere, it's the same Bobby back then. You probably wouldn't want to associate with me back then. Those things are there for my children, leave my grandchildren. I look at them in a watch box in my closet.
Doesn't touch them.
I don't touch them, but they're there for a reason. That's a Bobby that was not good for me.
So what was that mistake that you said, I'll never make that mistake again? In a nutshell, what do you think that mistake was?
Blowing my friggin' money. Not focusing on my business, what's right in front of me. How the hell, Bobby, are you going to do this business, that investment, that, when you're not even focused on this friggin' thing?
I would also have to say that is going into an investment that you have no knowledge about, right? We went into the investment because we had made some millions back then in 2003. And we decided we always wanted to be in real estate because that's where every rich person creates their wealth. But we went into it with like this, blinded, didn't study it, didn't understand it. We just knew we had the money and the financial backing of our banks that we had from the other business. And we said, let's just go at it because we know how to run a business. We could do this. Well, guess what? That's not true. And I tell everybody that wants to get into real estate, do not get into real estate because you have the money and because you have a business and you think that you know it. Every type of real estate is ran so differently. The way you invest it, the way that you manage it, the way that it behaves. And when you hold it for a long term or you go short term, you have to make sure that you understand what kind of investment you are doing before you throw the money at it, even if you have it. Because we did it.
Yeah. And here's the bonus. This is where Bobby and Sophie, this is where mom and dad guys won big time. We didn't quit. We made a major mistake. We learned from it. We looked at each other. Never again, we will do something. This real estate, we're going to learn it from ground up. Today, that real estate throughout the years, before we sold the business, we started just accumulating multifamilies. $750 million, give or take today, gives me and my awesome family every month $500,000. That's factual. This is just not a sky in the number people throw out. $500,000 just in that one vehicle every month passively. We learned this game so much that we said we will never do this without knowing it. And where we invested, going back to time, we invested our time in learning this real estate. And we've come to the conclusion, real estate's on the buy. It's not on the sale. We have these trophy assets that we continue buying, developing. Our kids are learning what we didn't even know. See, if we almost screwed it up, how dare us not to show them?
What we?
How many parents are not showing them their own mistakes? And like you have parents, oh, go to school, do that. Oh, get that fireman job. You know that damn thing doesn't work. Why are you telling them that? Don't lie to them. Tell them to take risks, but you can also manage risk by understanding what's going on.
If there's someone listening that's doing what you're talking about right now, what would your advice be?
Stop.
Because a lot of people won't go backwards. You know what I mean? There's people out there that like make money and they got the Rolls Royces and the Ferraris and the freaking houses and everything. When in reality, if you rip the covers off, they're spending all their money.
Warren Buffett says it the best. When the tide goes out, you shall see who has been swimming naked. And that's what's happening in today's market.
So if someone's out there swimming naked, what would you advise them to do?
It's okay. Learn what you did wrong. It's all you know exactly what you did. If you take the time and invest the time to lean back into what you did wrong, substitute all these people, all these distractions, go right down to basics at the freaking stage you're really at that you're not vulnerable or humble enough to say, I'm here. There's so many of us still wearing the Gucci shoes, wearing the watches, driving the cars. We know contraction happened. My business is not doing good. I'm up to my ears, but I cannot let go of what? The freaking ego. It's never going to be your amigo. So unless you're willing to let go of that ego, nothing's going to change. First things first, let go of the ego. And you know when my ego stopped? This is my wow moment. Two wow moments. One when I was 14 years old when I got my first job. My wow moment. When I was a waiter at that Rusty Pelican, I used to be a flash dancer with other flash dancers. That profile. You read my book, Upsiders.
Spending
$1,500 at a restaurant, and you can't. You
can't be that bad.
You'd be surprised. Some people do.
But I mean, like, not $2. You can't drive a Ferrari and have $2
in
your bank.
Well, they spend it on the payment.
That's just a statement. But more or less, you know what we're talking about.
Yeah, it's like freaking broke at another level.
Yeah.
Like, dude, I was. I wouldn't say it was long ago either. Like, I did that forever.
Yeah.
But I didn't understand money. I thought that's how you get rich. You just have to make more so you can get everything. I didn't realize that the people that literally had everything got the money and then invested it and then kept doing that, living like this, because you can't do that if you're not living like this.
Exactly. But at the end of the day, the
tough part is when you live like this and now you're fucking flash dancing, if that's what you call it, to go back down to this, because the people that are flash dancing still making money. They're making money or they couldn't live like that.
Well, they're making money just to survive by looking like they're making money.
Surprised.
No, I know, but like
we become very good at that.
There's people that are making money.
Yeah.
And they're spending it.
Yeah.
But in order to fix their fucking problem, dude, they'd have to stop living that way.
Yeah.
Which means now you got to give back these cars. You got to freaking give back these houses. You got to give back.
Yes, sir.
You got to stop flying.
You got to be very intentional.
You got to stop being a fucking flash dancer.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question.
Hey, and then the money that you were flash dancing with now is excess. And you go, hey, wait a minute. Okay. Now you got some money. So you're over here, but you're living like shit, but you're fucking winning.
Yep. So let me tell you
something. No one knows you're winning.
I know. Let me tell you this.
You can't brag anymore.
I was a flash dancer. I was that whole profile. Now, you know when my life changed? Remember I got that waiter job? Well, because I was a flash dancer. If you read my book, there's many layers of a lot of mistakes I've made. I was one night at the Rusty Pelican, and there was a 8 to 10 party top. And I knew all of them. They were all flash dancers. Good people. They were lost like I was. Just sitting there blowing $3,000. I know they can't even afford to do that.
Well, technically they could because they had the money.
Yeah, you got the credit card. Yeah, you know.
Well, I just want to make sure listeners aren't confused. Exactly. Like, well, how are they doing it if they couldn't afford it? Well, they could afford it. They shouldn't have afforded it.
You got it. Yes, yes. So when I knew Bobby was ready, imagine if you're one that had the nice car, the Rolex, this, that, and you look at Bobby, man, he's doing good. That guy's good. And then all of a sudden you see Bobby weighing on tables. Do you know the courage it takes to become humble? I started waiting on tables. And when I knew I was ready, my brother, I seen who I was waiting on. Most people will run out the back door. I can't wait on them. I waited on them. I gave them the best service you can ever receive from a waiter to fight and earn that 18% gratuity. It did not bother me. I knew I was ready. That's letting go of your ego, man. And if you can accomplish that, Brad, I promise you, everybody, I promise you, your life will change unthinkable positive ways. It'll blow your friggin' mind.
Mm.
Yeah, we were able to accomplish a lot. And we never were so crazy of like going to blow our money on stupid stuff. It was just like more clothes-wise, driving a car, you know, a little BMW really that we had. But when we stopped that, we're like Bobby said, and realized that, wow, if we really stop doing all this because people are thinking that we are in this level and we get all that money that we were wasting on junk and put it over here and invest it back into our business so that we could then start really getting financially free, it was such a game changer.
And it's so worth it. Today, think about it. People say, oh, they must not enjoy their life. Well, I don't know. We have a beautiful life. We have plane, boats, houses. Everything's free and clear. There's no debt. Point I'm trying to make.
You're here at the Super Bowl.
It's so worth it.
Cheap place to go.
What was that?
You're here for the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl. We do it every single year. We travel all around the world.
But we,
it's
with,
so worth
with
it.
Family.
With our family, with our grandchildren, our children.
But you know, we're in a stage in our life, guys, that we started our business when we were 20. I was 24.
That's a problem. Most people don't want to, they don't want to wait long. They think it's a long time.
Bobby was 28 and we didn't get to sell our business. It's going to be 5 years today.
That's it?
This 5 years this year.
Well, the third slice. So we sold $250 million, $600 million, then the billion.
Exiting for the $1 billion revaluation. So we didn't do this overnight. We were
took us 20 years, Brad.
20 years. 20-something years of, you know, like really putting hard work, letting go of sometimes weekends, letting go of not even traveling for a good amount of time, friends, family, a lot of things that we had to let go of back then. Because we needed to get focused because we had a goal and we were just knowing that we needed to reach this in order to be able to say, okay, now we could go and enjoy what we want to enjoy when we want to enjoy it and anything else we want to do, right? But meanwhile, that we were building those building blocks and we were going, you know, one by one. We weren't just jumping up here. It took a long
and if,
time.
And if you follow this model, your luck increases. Everyone says this has luck, and I agree. But you put yourself in these spots because you're managing your time. You're taking out other things and substituting with things that give you opportunities. Some people call them luck. That's exactly what we did. We are the prime example. If you are physically and mentally healthy and you live in this great country called the United States of America, you're the freaking problem. You're the freaking problem. There is no reason you should be struggling. If you're one that's complaining, oh, the prices are getting so expensive, they're going to continue getting expensive for the next 100 years. The problem is you're not focusing on, you talk a lot about the top line revenue. The only way you can increase top line revenues when you pay attention to that is the issue. The issue is not pricing. It's never been the issue. The issue is that you're not focused on really impacting your life. If you're mentally and physically healthy, and you live in this great country called the United States of America, and you're financially struggling, shame on you.
Well, you know, that's fact. But what I'm thinking, well, as you guys are talking, is like, not only am I guilty of it, but I know people that are, that's what they're doing. And they're not willing. Well, some of them can't. Like, you got leases, you got obligations. You can't just, oh, I'm going to give back that. I'm going to give that back. No, yeah. no, no. You, Brad, like cars
but,
and houses.
But how do you ever make the cut, yeah. Brad? Because if not, well, you, well, so, I so we know. we were looking at bankruptcy attorneys. You have to confront the issue that, hey, I can't afford these things. I'm going to ruin my credit. You're going to ruin your life.
You can afford it. You just can't afford to do it and be smart. Because again, people that have it can't afford it, or they wouldn't have it.
Yes, but they're
you know what spending, happens when they can't afford it? They lose it.
So yeah, they're making $1,000. I'm just saying a number. They're making $1,000 and they spend. No,
what, I think what Brad is referring to, you have a family. Hold on, they're at the country club. All the kids go to private school.
You got the houses.
They're making $600,000 a year. They're up to their neck because they're living a lifestyle that does not support $600,000 a year. They're keeping up with the Joneses. And they can never think about this wealth freedom that we created because they're so busy trying to surviving just to maintain.
Well, there's two paths, and you're correct. So there's two paths. One, you can make more and do it with that, meaning you can live up here as long as you can triple that. Now, don't live up here because you tripled it. Stay there, even though that's higher than you probably should be. If you want to accelerate, drop it down to here, and you'll do it even faster.
Yep.
But some people, they're up to here. They don't have the choice to give it up. Why? Because there's leases and contracts, and you don't just give up shit unless you're wanting to ruin your credit. So what do? Well, they got to stay there. That's one path.
Yep.
Make more. Because you can still achieve the same thing, just make more.
Exactly.
So are we talking
without
about...
Without going backwards.
Are we talking about someone who's an executive or working for a company, or this person or family have owned a business?
Well, what I'm talking about is the average entrepreneur.
Yep, got it.
I put myself in the same position, although I would say 5 to 10 years ago, it was much more serious. So what I did is I didn't go backwards either. I'm like, fuck you. I ain't giving all this back, number one. I like it.
Got it.
Number two, I got to make more.
Got it. And because, control the expenses.
Well, because I'm not fucking investing anything.
Yep.
So you guys were describing me too. It's like, there I was. But instead of me going backwards, giving up everything, swallowing my pride and ego, I wouldn't. And a lot of people won't.
Yeah.
And neither would I. Like, fuck you. You ain't seeing me in a pile of shit. Even though... If I wanted to take money and invest wisely, if I was smarter or less egotistical, I would have given up everything and went back to fucking like I had no money, even though I did. I could afford those things, or I wouldn't have had them.
Gotcha.
But I should have dropped them all, took the money that I was spending on that, and invested it for the next 10 years, living like I was broke. Correct. And then I would end up there anyway. That's option one.
Got it.
There's option two. Stay where the fuck you are. But you better crank up what you make and then don't do it again. Like, because most people,
increase your expenses.
They'll crank up what they make and now they'll get two Rolls Royces.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then they'll go get four Rolls Royces. Mm-hmm. And it's like, guys, you ever going to invest anything?
No. So for example, if one drives a $300,000 car and they have a $50,000 watch on their wrist, those are easy ones where you don't have to ruin your credit. You can downsize the car. You can get a
sell it.
You can get rid of things on this boat that's really heavy, that is getting kind of scary, that's going to sink. That's what I'm talking about, that behavior. That's becoming somebody who can let go of their ego.
Take responsibility.
Stop going to a restaurant and spending $3,000 a night going to these nice restaurants, going to a club.
Quit
and
showing off.
$10,000.
Sell the boat.
I used to say I spent so much money trying to impress people. If I had it all back, it'd be impressive.
Yep.
Ooh, I love that.
Exactly. And that's the truth. I remember spending like $10,000 on bottle service and tables and thinking I'm the man and everyone's going to think I'm cool. And, you know, and I was that night.
Well, that night. And then when the next morning.
And they don't care about your children. None of those people care about your children. God forbid something happens to you. They don't.
If I called them all right now and I said, hey guys, I'm in a tough situation. You remember all those times I was fucking high rolling with you?
Good luck.
I need a little help. They'd be like, oh buddy, I need help too, man. I'm in the same situation.
Good luck.
They ain't around.
Of course.
I always say having a lot of friends is like having a full-time job.
Yeah. So anyway, the listeners, man, this is good value. Why? Well, because listen, there's a lot of people out there in that same situation. I know a lot of people personally. I believe are in that situation. Of course, I don't get in anyone's business.
Yeah,
I just sit there and have my suspicions. Yep. And I've been in that situation. I'm still technically in that situation, but I'm less in that situation than I used to be because I started, like I said, making more. And then I quit fucking looking cool. You know, yeah, I got a Ferrari, but I ain't got six.
Yeah.
And I can afford it and still do this. But I can't do that as much as I could if I got rid of all my shit. But that I cannot fucking do. Why? Because I enjoy it, man. Yeah, and what if I die driving a fucking shithole? Who wants to die with fucking $29 million in your fucking cereal box?
But then people, Ben, but let me stop you, if I may. That's us sometimes, or at least I'm talking to myself. I used to justify that. Say, man, Bobby, you only live one life, man. I mean, come on. Like if I was going to die the next minute. I wasn't even willing to sacrifice 10 freaking Christmases, which is 10 years. Wealth comes over long periods of time. Rich, I warn people, watch what you wish for. Rich, you have a high paying job. You can never get off that hamster wheel. You want to focus on that business so you can sell that freaking business. If you don't own a business, unfortunately, you're working for somebody that does. You're losing.
Or buy a business.
Or buy a business.
Because like now that I've built three from scratch, you're sitting in one. And they're sellable. Not as sellable as I'd like because I'm still kind of needed. I want to fix that the next 2 years.
Got it.
But I would rather buy one now. Building them from scratch.
Yeah.
Christ.
And that's what people buy companies. They buy revenue. Yeah. And that's, yeah, you're 100% right.
Yeah. Like now I'm like, dude, I'm not going to start anymore.
You're more efficient.
I'm going to buy them now. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's some out there. That's what I tried to do with the Oregon deal. The RVs, like, you know, hey, let me buy those. Those already exist. You know, my problem was I fucking let some idiot run them.
And not be involved at least in the board meetings or even quarterly meetings that you create. That's why this happened.
Because number one, that takes time. Freaking, you know, send me your financials. And then you look at them and you're like, wait a minute, this doesn't look right. Well, I'll get back to that. And
yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Dude, it's hard, man. It's hard.
I know. I know.
Brad, if it was easy, everyone in the damn world would be.
But if we
doing
become
it,
very
right?
intentional, man, and you find that spot in life where you become real with yourself, that's right there. Do not leave that spot, Bobby. Stay right freaking there. That's where you need to be at. Stay there. When you drift, get back in there. We're looking for that area in life where it's transparency.
Yeah.
The real inside of you saying, I need to stop doing this.
I almost want to go home and say, babe, you got one suitcase you can bring.
Guys, and I'm not telling you not to have a good time out there. You can do everything you want. I mean, financial freedom, you have time, who you want to spend time with, where and when and how. Travel all around the world, making sure your kids are set for the rest of their life. And hopefully their kids.
Not everybody cares about
impact them. The world.
I just do my kids. Their kids, that's their problem.
You know, think about that. That's what you want to really work on. That's creating a meaningful life, man, for a good outcome.
Yeah.
The other flash dance stuff, going to a dinner table and going to a club, bopping bottles, going on Instagram. I spent $60,000. You have no idea what you're missing, guys.
But you can do that eventually if you do this.
Yeah, you want to do that for the rest of your life.
We could do it right now. Tables right now at a club. We wanted to go to a $60,000 a table that we have it. We're not doing that.
I just don't see the value.
Well, that's because we're older and more mature now.
There's no way I'm
plus
going
the music's
into
a little loud.
Hell no, I used to go to titty bars. I don't go to titty bars no more.
But a lot of people will go and say, oh, forget it. But for us, it's more meaningful to be able to get that $60,000.
Man, when I see people at tables like that and I go out and I'm saying, and I have that inclination or whatever you call it, saying, I don't know if that dude can be popping all those bottles, man, 25,000 a bottle and they keep coming out. And it's like, oh man.
Even like athletes that have huge money and it runs out. That's why it runs out because they just spent, they didn't invest. But right. I'm a hybrid in the middle. Why? Well, because again, I wasn't giving up shit, but I can go make some more.
Yep.
And if I make some more, I just won't blow anymore. So I'll stop blowing.
Yeah. You're managing risk.
And start fucking flowing.
Yep.
Yeah. You guys rack and stack, I fucking slow the blow.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I guarantee you one thing, Bradley, and I will challenge you on this. You go back and you look at your expenses. If you do the chart that we have did for many, many years, I could guarantee you that there is a lot of fluff in there that you
huge. Said, I promise you,
I guarantee he could have still had the same lifestyle.
No, I couldn't have done.
No, you're gonna. You don't think so?
No.
Like when we say lifestyle, right, you're gonna still feel good. You're still gonna have a good time. You're gonna have the experience, but maybe the bottle is $5, not $5,000.
I can guarantee you could stay living where you're living at and still save some money right now.
Oh yeah, right now I could. Right now I could for sure. But again, that's where I'm like, listen, what if I die tomorrow?
Trust
like
me,
you guys eat oatmeal. I ain't eating fucking oatmeal.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, well, you could squeeze more out of that. You know, I know you can always squeeze
but
more.
But what I did, and I agree, but I said to myself, and I used to justify, again, I used to justify a lot, man, but what's going to happen to my kids? All these people that owe me money and all that, all those deals I have going on, no one's going to care of my kids. What's going to happen to them?
What about like my Bitcoin? Sometimes I think, you know, if I died right now, how would anybody get into that?
Look at that.
Well, that's just lawyers and passwords. Yeah.
But
and,
that's something that is
But at the end of the day, to me, I understand what you guys are talking about. That makes me want to go home and say, babe, you can bring one suitcase. We're moving. Fucking, we're going back down to earth. And we're going to fucking...
For a moment in time.
Because I would get where we're going quicker if I, did that. Because I'd have an extra 200 grand a month to fucking invest. A
little lighter boat.
Right,
but guess what? I don't need to do that.
Yeah, yep. You just...
I just won't get there as fast.
But what about...
I'm still getting there.
No, I got you.
You guys want to wager?
No, my bet's on you.
I'm still getting fucking there.
My bet's on you.
It's just, 100%. I'm going to get there a little slower, a little harder. Why? Because, dude, I would hate to see that my wife now that fucking is happy. Well, we got to go be unhappy because I was a dumb fuck this whole time. But when I really wasn't, I just probably could have been a little less fun.
Gotcha.
So again, people learning from these mistakes can't be like you guys were. And I know a couple that were like you guys. They literally went from... Living, and they fucking went back to where they were sleeping on a mattress in a fucking one bedroom apartment with their kids. They gave up everything. They sold everything. They had nothing. And they started over. And now they're fucking killing it again because they did what you guys
did.
They
learned their lesson.
They fucking stopped the nonsense.
A doctorate degree.
Right, but again, a lot of people out there are thinking like me, and I don't want to ruin them. So I'm giving them hope that maybe if, because I know me, dude, I wouldn't do that. Why? I don't know. Maybe I got too much ego.
So,
and I like that shit, quite honestly.
I'm going to tell you something, though. You don't have to go that drastic.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You can just go earn more and don't blow that.
Mindset, though, right? Than a lot of people out there. You have that mindset that now I'm going to go make more. And now you're understanding, okay, I'm making more, but I'm not going to get no more expenses.
Yeah.
Now from here to here, it's all going to be so that I could then now create wealth, right?
That's what I'm doing.
People that are here
and not focused on the top line
money, and they're not focused on.
They're more focused on more. How do I appear? Do I have these good shoes on?
How do I maintain this and struggle?
I'm past that.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. But I had thankfully the ability to make more too. So like this watch, for example. I don't know if you know what that is.
What is it?
Nice little meteorite dial, Daytona. Can't find them, you know. But they're my colors. I always wear black.
Got it.
So like now, and it happens to be a fucking rare bad boy motherfucker. And nobody knows it unless you know it. So like I like that even more. No,
and you've earned it. You busted your butt to earn that watch.
This was a gift.
Oh, wow. Nice. Oh,
so even nicer.
Yeah. So, but now because... I used to wear them all with the colors and the outfits. Now I'm like, this is the one I wear. Yeah. So I'm thinking out of 25 watches, I wear 3. I don't need 25 watches anymore. So now I'm starting to like, should I sell those? Because I don't need them.
Simplifying.
And some of them are solid gold. I go get 50, 60 grand for it. Start loading them up. Take that money and invest it. Because I don't need 23 Rolexes.
That's what I was just going to say. Where's your mindset with the selling? Because a lot of people... will sell that, and what would they do with that money?
Well, they'll blow it, right? Well, wouldn't sell it. And if they did, they'd sell it to buy another one more expensive. They'd go from a freaking Rolex to a Richard
Mille.
And
you think it's just that pressure of appearing that status. It has to be that.
Well, I don't know why they do it.
What is it?
But I can tell you that once I started doing what I said, which is I didn't go backwards. I just made more and then stopped blowing. And then I started, investing it.
Exactly.
And then I start to feel a little more... oh, okay, this is better. Now you get addicted to this.
Yeah.
And now you're looking at like, well, what else can I do?
Exactly.
I don't really need 23 Rolex. And pretty soon you start to realize, who gives a fuck what everybody thinks? Like, shit, now it makes me want to just, like, fucking be a minimalist.
Man, can you imagine young
people? I won't
ever
wear an Apple Watch.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I get so much value from it because I get my texts, I get my emails, I get a precise time. And I just do it because it's more efficient for me. But going back to what you said, man, young people out there, like you and I, we've learned our lessons. Sophie learned her lessons. And we become wiser. We become more efficient. We simplify things. And we really understand how to compound things. If young people, and I know some people, and you know a lot more than I do, they're making a lot of money out there. And I look at them saying they have no clue of the wealth they can create in the next 20 years. They just, and I look at it and say they're blowing all this money. I'm meeting kids out there, dude. When I say kids are younger than me, making seven figures, seven figures a month.
And they don't realize that like 20 years ain't that long. And they could do it in 20. They got advantage of time. And in 20 years, they think, oh, that's forever. I want to live now. Dude, it'll be 20 years just like this.
20 and then, Christmases. That's it.
No, and they don't understand they could lose it at any time.
You could fuck it all up. And I've seen a lot of people do it. And like I told you, I know people right now. I just suspect, because I don't get in people's businesses, that they're doing that right now.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And I'm waiting because, like, you know, one of these days you're going to hear, ooh, oh, bummer, because they don't save anything.
Darn shame, man.
And they could be saving a lot.
They just got to get real with themselves.
You know what you should do with those watches that you say you don't need? Make a plan with it. Know how much money you're going to make out of all those watches and have a steady, a complete strategy on where you're going to invest
it. I should do that with mine.
And track it.
Why don't you sell your watches? I sell my watches, and then we make an investment together, and we call it the Watch Investment LLC.
Yeah, just call it Watch This.
I love it. Watch This.
Yes.
Let's do it.
I'll do it. I'll throw it in with you. But where I would put it is where I'm putting some more recently, and that's the 20 percenter. And you know what it's backed by? Real estate.
Yep.
So you it's basically 5% a quarter. It's 2 year. Then you re-up or not. It's backed by real estate. And all it is tax liens.
Yeah.
You heard of tax liens?
Mm-hmm. Well, we met. You introduced me to an individual, and then
that's
so a lot of those tax liens on those land deals, especially the land deals. We found out the land deals on the tax liens were far more more activity versus the other way. We're a little more lucrative. You can also, when you do get them on a tax lien, you also can sell them and finance it and earn interest on it. So that's a prime example. If you're struggling, you're looking for an opportunity, tax liens.
Yeah, but that's what I'm talking about, the 20%. It is what the guy introduced you to.
Yep.
I'm like, okay, here. And it's like, okay, here. And if it works out, I'm going to go, okay, here. Why? Because, dude, like, it's backed by real estate. I don't see how you can lose.
Yeah.
But again, I've been wrong before.
Remember the jockey. You got to make sure that.
No, but I do like it because it's not like if we go out and buy a bottle of champagne for $5,000, I'd rather buy a tax lien for $5,000. I have real estate. Getting that 5%. Once I drink that champagne, it's gone.
5% a quarter.
A quarter.
It's 20% a year. 2 year minimum. So let's say you give them $1 million. You're getting 5% a quarter, 20% a year. You're getting $200,000 back at the end of the year. You got to do it for 2 years. $200,000 back the next year. Then they says, you want to do it again? And the most badass part is the million that you give them is 100%
secured.
Secured by real estate that's worth more than you gave him. And if that's the facts, like, how do you lose? I don't understand how you lose.
The only way to lose is that operator doesn't
or if it's fraud. But the real estate backs the money.
Yeah.
Like, if you just said, Brad, give me $1 million and I'll give you our house free and clear as collateral. And if I don't pay you, dude, you can have that and I'll give you 20% a year. And it was legal,
100%.
Dude, I'll give you $1 million for the house as collateral because how do you lose?
Yep.
So that's what he's offering.
Interesting. I think you know a little bit about that. He just mentioned that to you not too long ago.
Because I told him, I said, well, what if I gave you like $10 million? Well, I'd have to go get the real estate that can back it because you can't, you can't back all that if you don't have all that.
Yeah.
So I think that dude's going to end up freaking billionaire.
Well, I love real estate, man. Real estate, it's the only thing that technology will not sub. We strongly believe in real estate. One of many asset classes we invest in, but real estate is a big asset class that we absolutely love. We love real estate.
Well, now, it will not sub multifamily or
yeah, except for offices and all. Yeah, primarily multifamily. We just multifamily junkies. It just feeds us tax efficient.
Replace as well.
What about commercial?
Well,
industrial. We have some we have some industrial stuff. Industrial is really good. The only thing we don't like is office
and shopping centers
because we have no experience in shopping centers.
A technology can replace shopping centers, right?
Yeah,
Amazon. You're seeing Amazon right now replacing a lot of
This is office space.
This is office space. But right now, office space is struggling because a lot of businesses are running.
And they're downsizing.
Online. Well, I'll tell you, it's very lucrative. People are out there buying these offices, and we know a whole bunch of them, very wealthy people, family offices like ourselves, they manage their own money. They're buying these office buildings for 30 cents, 40 cents discount on the loan balance, meaning that their loan balance is $20 million. They're buying it for 30% of that, $6 million. They only need that office to occupy 25% occupancy, and it gives them cash flow. Very lucrative. There will be a transition in 5-7 years. We'll look at that. And again, we don't have office experience. We do like multifamily, but going back to your point, real estate, it's backed. We can hold it. It's a real asset. I can smell it. I can feel it. Yes, I can invest here. And worst case scenario, maybe I have 80% of my money for a moment in time, and it'll be back 150%, 150, 200% more than that in 5 years. We've been through cycles of real estate. It's always held up. 08, 09, where a lot of young people have no clue of that. And we're going through this contraction now. And I tell people, Bobby, what do you think about real estate? Don't think about real estate. Tell me what you're doing for a living. And they're telling me that. And they tell me real estate. Forget about the real estate. What are you doing for a living? I want to talk about that. Let's give that energy. Real estate's always going to be here. It's not going nowhere. Right now, it's not a good time unless you're focused on distressed real estate and opportunities like that. If you're not and you want to do the multifamily stuff that we do, pencils down. Tell me what you're doing right now. Let's work on top line. Mm.
So if the bomb squad were to be here in the room and you wanted to give them one piece of advice, one piece each, one thing, what would you tell them?
Change your relationship with money. Mm.
To me, it's knowledge. Get the knowledge on whatever you want to, whatever your goals are. Get the knowledge on how to get there.
Okay. And then what could the bomb squad do for you guys?
Man, you keep being an awesome dude, a friend. You're somebody I enjoy exchanging value every time I run into you at these events and all that. And just keep being awesome, man. I love what you're doing. It's all about transparency. And again, Sophie and I are here for a moment in time. Yes, I do coach people one-on-one. I'm not a professional coach by no means. What I do is pretty much how I built the company, just give value. Just keep doing what you're doing, man. And I look forward to continue this relationship with you and I.
Yeah, for me is, you know, I love to be able to give value to others, to teach, not to teach them, to show them that, hey, if we did it, you guys can do it too. So just,
and we don't need, we're not here to get a follower on Instagram. Matter of fact, if you don't like my stuff, I will highly recommend you delete me. I'm not you. I can be very annoying and remind you of really the truth, what's going on in your life. Delete me. I'm not here for a follower. I am here to speak to a Bobby. I know there's a Bobby there.
There's a lot of Bobbies out there. And let me tell you something. We'll pay $5 for any follower that follows him and finds a any word in on any video where he pronounces the G. It's worth $5 a G. You can get rich. All you got to do is follow him and listen. And if you hear him say like following or investing or caring or sharing or
I love it.
Any G whatsoever, you hear it, you DM me with the video where he pronounces the G, I'll give you $50. $50 a G. Appreciate you guys coming in.
Love you, dude.
Folks, you guys go follow him at official Bobby Castro or at official Sophia Castro. Go get the book Upsiders, website bobbycastro.com or ortsack.com. Until next time, keep it real.